This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 6.04 and 3/4. That was up 2.5. May wheat closed at 6.28, up 3 3/4. July wheat closed at 6.48 and a quarter, up 2.5. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 6.04. That was up 4.5. May corn closed at 6.10 3/4, up 4.25. July corn closed at 6.15 3/4, up 3 3/4. March soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 11.83 1/2, up 25 1/4. May beans closed at 11.92 1/2, up 24 3/4. July beans closed at 12.02, that was up 24 1/4. March soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 3.10.50, up 90. May meal closed at 3.13.10, up 86. July meal closed at 3.16.20, that was up 84. March soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 50.77, up 48. May oil closed at 51.19, up 49. July oil closed at 51.55, up 49. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois winter grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon, with soybeans closing sharply higher. Stronger outside markets were supportive to higher grain values. Crude oil and stocks were up, with the value of the U.S. dollar lower. Weekly export inspection figures for soybeans were above expectations, and the National Oilseed Processors December crush report was also above expectations, helping to lift soybean values. In central Illinois tonight, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents stronger at 584 to 605, and soybeans advanced 27 to 29 cents at 1153 to 1172. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 4 to 7 cents higher at 5.95 to 6.11. Soybeans gained 26 to 28 cents at 11.57 to 11.83. And soft red winter wheat 3 cents better at 5.90 to 6.05. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids 5 to 7 cents stronger, ranging from 5.95 to 6.05. Soybeans gained 25 to 28 cents at 11.65 to 11.74, and wheat prices 3 cents stronger at $6 to 6.01. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 4 to 8 cents higher at 6.08 to 6.14. Soybeans gained 25 to 28 cents, ranged from 11.86 to 11.94. And new crop wheat prices for July 12 delivery 2 to 4 higher at 6.08 to 6.13. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 8 cents higher at 6.24 to 6.25. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 27 cents, with quotations at 12.07 to 12.08. Soft red winter wheat gained 3 cents on Tuesday, ranging from 6.14 to 6.15, and the Milo ended a nickel higher at 5.92 to 5.93. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 85.77, up 17. April hogs closed at 87.40, up 35. May hogs closed at 95.10, up a quarter. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 123.52, up $1.05. April cattle closed at 126.80, up 40. June cattle closed at 125.62, up 37. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 150.65, up 7. March feeders closed at 152.37, unchanged. April feeders closed at 154, also unchanged. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, January 17th, for the Eastern Corn Belt, the Liedrich hogs, burros, and gilts closed at $1.40 higher, with a carcass-based price range of 79 to 83.5, weighted average 82.18. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 15,600. Illinois direct burro and gilt trade mostly steady to dollar lower, 55 to 60. Illinois direct slaughter sow steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds, 50 to 55. 450 to 550 pounds at 52 to 57. over 550 pounds of 54 to 58, few up to 60. Today's estimated receipts 800, Friday's actuals 350, and Monday's actuals 1,000. Pork carcass cutout 84.93, that is up 48 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection. Hogs for today 426,000. Last week 421,000. A year ago 418,000. Week to date of 802,000. Cattle today 131,000. Last week 129,000. A year ago 127,000. Week to date of 262,000. Box beef cutout values were lower on moderate demand and heavy offerings. Total movement today 238 fab loads of 51 trim. Choice 182.90. That is down 81 cents. Select at 174.12, and that is down 95 cents. There's a special bred cow sale Saturday at the Schuyler Livestock Auction in Rushville, 263 head sold. Trade was moderate to active with moderate to good demand. All bred cows sold on a per head basis. Middle-aged, medium and large frame first stage cows traded at $925 to $1,000. Middle-aged, medium and large frame second stage cows from $1,225 to $1,425. Aged large frame second stage cows at $835 to $1,040. Young, medium, and large frame third stage cows traded at $1,260 to $1,625, with middle-aged large frame third stage cows at $1,225 to $1,570. Opening report for the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, estimated receipts this morning 306. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to dollar higher, with Holstein steers steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 126 to 132 and a quarter. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 115 and a quarter to 121 and a quarter. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, from 121 to 131 and a quarter. At the Hamilton's Madison County Ag Hay Auction, Saturday, 1,904 bales sold. Compared to last week, hay and straw sold mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares at 580 to 760, large squares 3x3s at 136. Good quality small squares, 410 to 520, large squares, 77 to 82. Alfalfa orchard grass mix premium quality small squares at 630 to 790, good quality small squares at 490, large squares at 71 to 85. Alfalfa mixed grass premium quality small squares at 690 to 780, good quality small squares at 460 to 560, large squares from 76 to 90. Orchard grass premium quality small squares at 690 to 750, large squares at 171, good quality large squares at 73 to 107. Mixed grass premium quality small squares from 6 to 710, good quality small squares 4 to 580, and large squares at 51. With wheat straw, good quality small squares $2.60 to $3, and large squares at 42. At the United Producers Hay Auction this morning, 336 bales sold. Compared to last week, not accurate trend available due to limited comparable sales. All prices on a small square per bale basis. Alfalfa orchard grass, good quality, $6 to $6.50. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality, $5. Orchard grass, good quality, $4.50 to $6. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
And right now we'll take you to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. January Class 3 milk, $17.08, down 3 cents. February, $16.97, down 11. March milk, $17.28, down 11. January butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 161, up a quarter. February butter 160, that was down one, and March butter 164 and a quarter, down one and a half. January non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday 140 and a half unchanged. For February 140 unchanged, and for March 140 and a half unchanged. Spot prices for Class 3 milk, $18.77. For butter, $159.5, down 1 and 3 quarter. For non-fat dry milk, $145. That was unchanged. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Scottville and Greenfield. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.09. For February, $6.06. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.01. For February, $5.98. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January $11.70, for February $11.60. Wheat delivered to Scottville for January $5.76. For more information or to confirm the bids, contact Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield, $6.09, corn at Scottville, $6.01, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $11.70, wheat at Scottville, $5.76. Once again, their phone number, 217-368-2888. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
As the weather turns cold and the temperatures drop, your diesel engines work harder than ever. Now is the time to get the diesel fuel that works as hard as your equipment, FS Diesel X Gold. It gives your engines the power and protection they need all winter long. FS Diesel X Gold can be winterized with SureFlow 4, which ensures maximum performance during the coldest winter temperatures. See M&M Service Company for the diesel fuel that gives your engines greater power, protection, and fuel economy. Give your engines FS Diesel X Gold. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
For today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 30s. We will have south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight becoming cloudy, low temperatures in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of snow flurries, high temperatures in the low 30s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy to cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain or snow on Friday. Low temperatures rising to the low 30s, high temperatures rising to the upper 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure rising. We have mostly clear skies, 12 degrees on this Wednesday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Listen for live coverage of the 2012 Macoupin County Basketball Tournament on WSMI FM 106.1. Brought to you by Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. C&B Bank and Trust with 12 locations to serve you. Consolidated Communications, visit consolidated.com. Bank and Trust Company in Litchfield, Carlinville, Farmersville, Raymond, Chatham, and Rochester. And by the Cubbyhole, a mile west of Carlinville High School.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. On the farm news this morning, last week, the USDA crop production figures sent commodity prices down. They have rallied somewhat Tuesday, and Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions explains.
Well, yeah, you know, post-USDA report, obviously, you know, we saw a lot of liquidation, of course, on Thursday, closing these front months on the corn limit down. Deferred contracts, you know, for the new crop weren't down quite as much, you know, closer to about a quarter of a loss on that. But Friday we saw a little bit of follow-through down about another dime. Today we're seeing a little bit of a bounce. The outside markets, I think, have a lot to say about this for today. There were some numbers out of China, you know, based on their fourth quarter GDP. Saw an increase of about 8.9%, which is a lot better than a lot of people expected, so that's got some optimism brewing. But we have to keep in mind, this could be just a near-term knee-jerk reaction. That number is actually still the slowest in over 2 years still. So, you know, you got to look into that information a little bit deeper, see how it's really going to affect things. The dollar is sharply lower today, but I would expect a lot of money to continue to flock to the dollar as a safe haven for investments. You know, it doesn't probably sound real accurate to think that, but with the problems they've got going on over in Europe, there's a lot of selling in the euro against that. So I think that should continue. Dollar should continue its uptrend. You know, will it get into U.S. exports? I think it could eventually, but I think right now these grains are divorced enough from those outside markets. They're going to get back to trading some of their own fundamentals. I think we revert back to weather, back to economic factors, and, you know, I still think we could have kind of a stale, stagnant market between now and, you know, let's say the middle of February, but you get closer to end of February, going towards March. I think you got to look for some sort of seasonal rally again. You know, we saw the USDA make some minor adjustments on the South American production numbers. Obviously, it wasn't nearly the cuts that some of the traders were expecting, but that's how they treat that. You know, they're going to treat it just like a U.S. report, and they're going to make some gradual schedule adjustments. They're not all going to do it all in one. I would expect those numbers to go nowhere but lower from here. And the question is, what kind of irreversible damage has already been done? There are on tap to get a few more rains here. Looks like they're in a time frame of relief, at least for right now. But again, you got to go back to what has already been done. Is it going to get worse again? But we'll start to learn more and more about that over the next month or two as harvest starts to begin down there. It's estimated that Brazil is only about 2% harvested. The outlook isn't very good because of the drought, but again, we're going to get a lot more accurate information as time rolls forward and hopefully get some more accurate numbers from the USDA. And, with the carryout not shrinking as much as people had hoped for, there's still a lot of discrepancies here about feed usage and where things could look like in the future. Ethanol grind has been pretty steady and more than the USDA has anticipated so far. But, again, I think it's all going to revert back to South American weather here in the U.S. and how things look going into spring.
You mentioned the GDP for the Chinese. Could that be a factor, too? I mean, with that improvement in their GDP, would they be a buyer of American ag products soon?
Well, absolutely. If you look at a historical dollar chart, though it has rallied quite a bit and looks like it could still have some more upside from a historical standpoint, still in relatively low territory. And the fact that those numbers were a little better than expected, we have to know that some of these forecasts for supply and demand do come off, expectations on what those numbers will look like. And, as I mentioned, it will go back to South American weather, but not necessarily just because of the weather. If you start having production problems down there, then China, all these other countries that import grains, whether it be corn or beans from Brazil, they're going to have to pay a little bit more of a premium, similar to what we see here in the U.S. When there's a shortage, we're seeing corn basis very strong. Well, they have to pay that premium, and if the U.S. becomes a lot more competitive and the quality is better, China will start lining up boats at the Pacific Northwest and even out of the Gulf, and the U.S. could see significantly more demand, but a lot of it will hinge on how the weather does, but yeah, we will still be a prime destination for a lot of that.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. In other news, the Pork Checkoff is accepting nominations for its Environmental Stewards Program. Pork Checkoff Environmental Programs Director Alan Stokes is encouraging producers to consider this program.
Our producers are guilty sometimes of being too humble. And what we just really need to do is the Environmental Stewards Program is a wonderful way to tell the rest of the world the story that our pork producers have to tell about the good work that they do to protect our natural resources and environment in their day-to-day efforts and to kind of serve as, an image of the entire pork industry. And so I just really encourage producers to seriously consider making application or have someone nominate them for consideration.
Mr. Stokes says all pork producers are doing an excellent job, and often producers take that responsibility as part of their daily routine.
Some folks have gotten the misconception that in order to be considered that you have to be using some sort of a new technology or new invention, and that's not the case. What the program is really designed to focus on is good, sound, basic day-to-day management of the operation. Certainly, we don't shy away from recognizing people who might be employing some newer technologies, but the program's really just designed to recognize the everyday job that producers do of managing their operations in an environmentally conscious way.
March 31st is the deadline to apply for the National Environmental Stewards Award. Producers are asked to complete a short essay and to answer a few questions.
There's an application or nomination form that's on our pork.org website under programs, Environmental Stewards Overview and Application. They can download that application. It's either in PDF format or in Word format and fill out the questions. Essentially, what we ask are questions, some basic information about the general production information of the operation, their manure management practices, efforts that they are engaged in to preserve and protect air, water, and soil resources, any work that they do relative to the general appearance and aesthetics of the farm and their relations with the neighbors, of being good community members, any practices they follow or the efforts that they have in place that are designed to protect habitat for wildlife and wildlife management types of issues.
For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. The website address, www.pork.org, or phone 800-456-PORK. On the AM Live program Monday, we talked to Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association, and we talked about the truck show coming up in February.
The 50th anniversary Midwest Truckers Association convention and the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show starts on Thursday and Friday, actually starts Friday, February 3rd, at the Peoria Civic Center in Peoria, Illinois. This is the biggest little truck show in the country. We have almost 200 exhibit spaces. We have everything for anybody who operates a truck, not just truck drivers or, you know, trucking companies, but anyone who operates trucks in their business. They can find the services, they can find equipment, they can find parts, just about anything they need at the truck show. The truck show itself runs on Friday, February 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then on Saturday, February 4th, it runs from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. So it's a fun couple of days. We get about 5,000 people come through the truck show. And the best part about it is it's free of charge. So anyone can come in, make a day of it. There's plenty to do up at the truck and trailer show.
And in addition to that, you also have seminars for fleet operators and drivers, don't you?
We have a lot of seminars. We have a lot of two things. We have, of course, we have the convention going on at the same time. The Midwest Truckers Association convention coincides with the truck show. So there are programs going on with the convention, and there's a lot of seminars going on just with the truck show. For example, with the convention itself, we're kicking off the general session, the opening session, on Friday with Ann Farrow, who is the head of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Ann is has been to the convention once before, and her timing's always good because of the fact that her agency, a part of U.S. Department of Transportation, just came out with new rules in regards to the ban on handheld cell phones, which went into effect about a week and a half ago. But then also they just came out with new proposed rules in regards to hours of service. In other words, how many hours you can be behind the wheel when you're operating your truck. So her timing to come to the truck show and the convention are perfect, because this gives folks plenty of time to ask her questions, express their concerns they have about what all these new rules and regulations are.
Now, if some
go ahead, Randy.
No, I was just going to ask about that seminar you just mentioned. Should fleet owners and drivers, should they register ahead of time for this?
Yeah, they should register ahead of time. We have a couple different things. There's a one-day registration, or there's a registration for the whole convention if they want to. And they have their choice. There's different. And really, besides that, each day of the convention is just packed with seminars, everything from accountants talking about tax information for truck operators to people to understand how the new CSA safety program is working and how it impacts and affects their safety rating. We have sessions on sleep apnea. I mean, there's just a whole laundry list of seminars that are breakout sessions that are going on during the 2 days. The product seminars that are attached to the truck show, you do not need to pre-register for those. And there are many, many, many of those. There's probably close to 15 of those set up that has everything to do with mechanical information on your truck, the latest an update on new trends in where are we going with biodiesel, different companies are doing different seminars on the different computer technology they're using. There is just so much there. If people want to see a breakdown of these seminars and these breakout sessions, they can go to our website where they're going to be posting. We'll be posting an updated list on our website probably later on this morning. They can go to www.midwesttruckshow.com, and they will have a listing there of schedule for all the activities that are going on for the show.
And there's no charge to attend any of this, correct?
Yeah, no charge at all for any of the product seminars. All those product seminars are free of charge. Admission to the truck show is free. Now, excuse me, if they are going to attend the convention and the specific breakout sessions that are connected to the convention, there is a charge for them. They can do a one-day. There's a one-day fee, which also includes all the sessions, all the seminars going on that day. Plus, it also includes lunch. It includes includes the hospitality at night, and they can do a one-day package or they can do a two-day package. So it's cheap. I mean, depending on how they tailor what they want to go and where they want to go, when they want to go, they can pretty much tailor a package for them that works for them, and it's a very, very reasonable cost. We don't make any money on it. We do it to as a service more than anything else to cover the costs that that go on with putting that part of the program on.
And that was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. A couple of reminders in the news on this Wednesday morning. John Nolan, the Executive Director for the Macoupin County Farm Service Agency, reminds operators and landowners that the 2012 direct and countercyclical and average crop revenue election program sign-up begins on Monday, the 23rd. It will end on June 1st. For more information, you can contact the Macoupin County Farm Service Agency office in Carlinville, the phone number 854-2626. And Sherry Giamanco, the State Executive Director for USDA's Illinois Farm Service Agency, reminds livestock owners who had disaster-related losses during calendar year 2011 to visit their local Farm Service Agency office before the 30th to file an application for payment through the Livestock Indemnity Program. For more information, her phone number, 217-241-6600, extension 201. The DTN general opening call for today. Corn expected to open 3 to 4 lower. Beans 7 to 8 lower. Wheat 3 to 4 lower. The overnight crude oil market 63 cents higher at 101.34. Brent crude 30 cents higher at 111.83. The February gold contract 20 cents lower at 165.40, while the U.S. dollar index 0.467 lower at 80.715.